teacher AJ is chemistry god. He's in charge of our JC chemistry. I'll leave him to explain a little bit more about what else he teaches.
I don't just teach H2 chemistry, I teach Sec 3, Sec 4. So most of my students from Sec 3, Sec 4, after finish their O-levels, they will just straight away find me for their A-levels. I've been doing that for many years already. So some of the students, I've seen them grow up from 15 years old, then 18 years old, then they are done with their A-levels, right? So yeah, so if your youngest siblings, do search me up too, right?
Yeah, teacher AJ is super lao jiao, right? If you need anything about H2 chemistry or even O-level chemistry, you can ask him, which is the very crucial thing about today's podcast, right? We wanted to ask somebody, what's the difference between O-level versus H2 chemistry and how do I score an A? So teacher AJ is perfect for that because he teaches both O-level and H2 chem. So he's going to tell you what's the difference between moving from an O-level to a H2 state in preparation for you to step into JC. Okay, teacher AJ, the floor is yours.
Okay, so firstly, I have to give you guys a heads up. H2 chemistry is a whole different ballgame from O-level pure chemistry, right? You can be getting, I've seen students getting A1 for Sec 4 pure chemistry, and then the first test in JC, they just fail it, right? So it's definitely very different. One of the key differences is that the H2 chemistry, the questions are a lot more application. Right, the only application that you will see in Sec 4 will definitely be the database question, very back end to paper 2 of your O-levels. If not the first few parts, MCQ, or even the first few parts, or the first few questions of your paper 2, are very regurgitative. If you do a lot of Sec 3, Sec 4 O-level question, it's quite similar. Right, it's not going to deviate much. So some things you can just form it out literally. And you don't even need to fail it because if the right points are there, you're going to score it. But then if you were to apply the same tactic for H2 chemistry, you'll be in for a surprise. Right? So you form it out, right? So some students tell me, AJ, I last time study already, but I memorized everything already, but I still fail. And why? Because I just tell them, you are not studying the cliche statement is you're not studying smart, right? You don't understand how they are questioning you. So if you're just vomiting it out, you may fail too, right? So the application-based question require you to truly, fully understand what you have memorized and then applying it to something more unique. It's like a real-world situation whereby you are a scientist. The scientists understand a specific theory, right? They understand this concept about this element. But how are they going to apply this same theory to something more alien, something more strange? That's how, in a nutshell, A-level question would be like. Okay? But, and I always tell my students, certain questions that you see on your A-level paper, they actually plot it out from university concept for chemistry. I'm only speaking for chemistry, right? They literally pluck out a reaction mechanism or a reaction in university syllabus, and ask the student, right? But obviously, there will be some help provided, and you guys, you need to draw similarities from what you learn to something new. And you need to see the parallel relationship. But those students who just merely memorize, they do not know what to just vomit out. So they just anyhow plug. This is going to get 0 marks. That's just in a whole summary how H2 and O-level can differ. Right? Okay, so this is the main part. In terms of marks, right? In terms of marks. For O-level, in terms of the exam style, for O-level, if they are giving you A, B, C, D kind of question, usually the A, B, C, D questions are related, but even if you fail to score for A or B, your C can still be correct. They clearly distinguish so to prevent you from building up your loss of marks. Right? So for A-levels, or rather for your school papers or in A-levels, if you screw up for part one, it will lead to the other parts being wrong too. You may argue with me and tell me, AJ, that is error carry forward, but that's not going to give you a lot of marks. That's not going to give you a lot of marks. Sometimes the error carry forward doesn't even apply because of your previous mistake. You go a whole different direction, right? Leading you to just the whole 10 marks, 0 marks, or maybe 1 or 2 marks. That's why students is either do decently okay or fail. The discrepancy is quite large. Right, so but in Sec 3, Sec 4, there are different variations. Some people score very bad, some people score in like in the middle, some people score very well. But in JC, it's either do very well or do very bad because of that kind of questioning type. You screw up part one, the whole thing gone. Right?
Oh, so if I were to understand it a little bit better, the difference in O level versus H2 is the type of questions
Yes.
and the way in which the questions are structured. Because O level, it feels like they are still trying to help you, you know,
that yes, correct.
To learn something can promote. But for A levels, they really want to separate out who is serious about their chemistry and who is
Yes.
the A versus who is the B onwards. So they are very strict about their marking. I'm
Correct.
curious to ask about, you know, topics wise, is there a topic like, let's say at the O levels, you know, you can understand certain concepts, but maybe it tweaks and it changes into something more difficult at the A level or H2 concept.
Yes, definitely. There is one particular concept such as which is acid bases that you learn in Sec 3, Sec 4. In Sec 3, Sec 4, you just learn the theories about acid bases. Oh, strong, weak acid. That's about it. Or how you're going to use the pH indicator, the colors, the universal indicator, apply it to titration. It's
Oh,
very
I do remember that
theoretical.
in O
Correct,
level.
it's just very theoretical. Just write out
Yeah.
definition, etc. Right? But in A level, it's so much calculation. It's a
Oh.
lot of calculation.
What do you have
Right?
to
So,
calculate? I didn't
oh,
know
you
you
have,
took chemistry,
exactly.
science,
So you
and
have to now calculate. So last time, for example, now in Sec 4, if now I tell you it is a strong acid. So the pH will just be estimated to be 1 to 2, right? But now in A levels, you have to specifically go count the pH of the strong acid. And the strong acid may not be pH 1 to 2, it can be 3, 4, 5. So that being said, it means that certain things that your Sec 3, Sec 4 O level syllabus require you to understand, maybe you need to tweak it a bit or so. So some things you need to actually relearn,
So in
right?
that sense, the concept of the strong acid, it was kind of like spoon-fed to you. It's given to
Correct.
you.
So they really tell you, oh,
The
1 to 2 means strong.
number.
But now there is possible variation because it requires you to calculate, right?
It's
And
more of
not
like
only that.
stepping into the real world, right? Where like initially it
Correct.
was just a concept. It's something that you use to gauge and create some sort of understanding. But in H2 now, they are really asking you, can you understand the concept? Can you understand and tolerate the fact that a strong acid has so many, in that sense,
Correct. So
variables
you have to
in
be
it?
flexible, right? So if you are still having inflexible thoughts about the same concept in Sec 3, Sec 4, you're in for a ride. Okay, you have to be flexible, yeah. So that's one. And then now in acid bases, you have to calculate all the different parts of your titration curve. Titration curve is only briefly touched upon in O level because one of the years this titration curve came up. Then now a lot of schools teach a very, very superficial thing about the curve, the graph. But now you have to actually know how to draw it. But before you even draw it, you need to know how to calculate every different point. And that's a killer part for many students. Yeah, and so many calculations. So why I bring acid bases is that this topic requires so much calculation compared to Sec 3, Sec 4. But Sec 3, Sec 4 only calculate in this part called mole concept. I believe you should heard it before.
Oh, I
Correct?
remember it vaguely.
Yeah, so in now in A levels, right, across multiple topics, you have to calculate. Not just more concept. Yeah, so you will see more topics overlapping. So that's why some students, if they were to just be good at a few topics, they can only score in a large 10 marks question, 1 mark, 2 marks, 3 marks. But all your
Oh, you
questions
can
are
close
going
your
to
one and add up
overlap.
together.
Correct. they will
Oh dear.
overlap so many things. Then, but sec 3, sec 4, they still help you whereby some question they overlap a bit, one or two topics, right?
Like to give you benefit
Then they
of
still
doubt and
seg
help you a bit
correct, correct,
lah.
correct. Then
Okay.
they segregate nicely for you. Or this part is the first part is just more concept. The next part redox, but now it's more concept redox. Essay basis, they throw in everything in one question.
That's
So
very scary.
imagine now you are only good at a few topics. Then one topic you do not know. Then
Oh,
that
they
whole
ruin
question
the
gone already.
question.
Cannot do
The whole
it.
question is gone.
Almost, or cannot say 100%, maybe 1 or 2 marks. Yeah. So
Oh,
that's why
dear.
it also adds up why there's a discrepancy in terms of the marks, why some people feel so badly. Yeah. So it's like a hard hitter, right?
I see. So my next question then is, that's the exam and the paper side, right? There's also the practical side. I used to be terrible at practical. What's the difference between O level versus A level practical?
I'll say in terms of the practical exam, there is a lot of similarities. You still have to do multiple experiment. O level two, around two or three, and then there is a planning question. For O level is 5 marks, just 5 marks, and it's just a short, a few steps only. But correct. But then in A level, right, you really have to go in depth. It's like literally writing out a lab manual for a student to actually go follow. You have to think through the whole experiment that you are willing to propose. And the experiment or the hypothesis that they are asking you to propose the planning is not like just memorize one. You have to look at the context. But O level is quite standard. Right? You can only go a certain few experiment, you just regurgitate the same kind of step. Just maybe tweak a bit only. That's about it. Right? And planning, I'll say, is quite tough for chemistry. I personally find it tough. It's very tough. Planning sometimes, even as a teacher, if I were to do a planning question, it depends on what the experiment is. I may not even get a full mark. Right? It varies from people to people and even the marker. Right? Yeah.
That's
Then
true.
I forgot to mention one thing, right? So time is a crazy factor in exam for chemistry. In sec 3, sec 4, a lot of students will find it easy to finish and a lot of buffer time. Still a lot of time to go check, right? It's a fact across the board, even to the better students, they cannot finish one. Even how good you are, right? Almost 95% of the cohort cannot finish every question and do it and still check everything and still have time to sleep on the desk. No,
So
no,
how do
no,
you strategize like doing your chemistry papers then if you
no.
confirm cannot finish?
You have to learn how to damage control, to put it simply. And to learn how to damage control. But guys, honestly, right, back in my time, right, it's a lot harder. Now they already changed the syllabus to make it a lot easier. So I just give you an example. In my time, I think before 2017, my MCQ 1 hour, MCQ 1 hour, 40 MCQs.
Oh, wow.
So
That's
you might
crazy.
be thinking it's the same as O level. O level is also same. 40 MCQ for the pure one, not combined, for the pure, 40 MCQ 1 hour. And usually students by the 30-minute mark in O level can finish already. Okay? And you see people a lot like relaxing already. But in at my time, 1 hour for 40 minutes sometimes cannot finish one because the questions are so difficult, it's so tedious. But going back to my initial point, why is it easier for you now? Now, for 1 hour 40 questions is 1 hour 30 questions.
Okay lah, they cut down a bit.
Correct. That being said, still got a lot of students cannot finish.
Wow, that's the part
So,
that gives a lot of people anxiety, right? I think, because I mean, it's the whole
correct.
idea of you are trying to be prepared, and then you go in. It's not just about how good you are or how able you are to answer the questions. It's about a time factor, right? You're like stressing to complete it within a given time.
Correct.
So how long
So
are
you
they
can be super good in
talking?
chemistry, but then you go in, but because you look at the clock, right, then shit,
Oh
the time
shoot.
is, then after I understand, right, human psychology, then it will be like, we are running out of time, then your mind
You will
just
panic
down.
and you go into like
Exactly.
overdrive.
Then cannot do it. Then
Ah,
cannot do it.
yes.
Yeah, so
How
sometimes
long do they have
when
for the paper
students,
itself?
sorry,
Like, you know,
the
the MCQ, the paper itself.
hours for paper 2, 2 hours for paper 3.
Okay. So
Yeah,
it's still
then
not a lot of time difference, like, it's
it's still
still
not a lot of time.
very tight. Okay,
Correct.
okay. I
Yeah,
see.
so it's a huge ask. It's very tedious paper, very overwhelming paper.
In a sense, if I were to just summarize the differences that we talked about up, the first thing of I mean, the most obvious one is the difficulty and the change in syllabus, right? The type of questions is next, right? The type of questions that O levels give is meant to help you. A levels is like they throw in like 10,000 different concepts. You're expected to understand and have a holistic
Correct.
understanding of all of them combined and how they affect each other, plus more calculations. And the third thing that you mentioned is the fact that it's not just a chemistry related struggle, it's a time management issue as well. I think a lot of people will find that in A levels, that is one of the biggest stumbling blocks for completing your papers. Okay, and with that, let me move to the next question. Is H1 chemistry worth taking, or if I'm going to take chemistry, I might as well just take it at a H2 level?
For if you are a combined chemistry student, for H1 chemistry, if let's say you want to take a chemistry subject in A levels, H1 will be better, sure. But you guys have to take into consideration that H2 chemistry is quite an essential subject in university application, right? Some courses they really single out H2 chemistry. Yeah, it's a fact. So you have to consider it when you are, because you are thinking ahead about your university application, right? For the combined students. But you don't be scared. Even if you are combined, you still can take H2 chemistry. It's just that maybe you need to work a bit harder. But honestly, it's around the same playing field, because the pure students may not even do well for the H2 chem also. You don't think they are better off. And as what I said, you have to relearn certain things already.
So it levels the
Right?
playing field. Basically, you have to start
Correct.
from scratch lah in your understanding of
Correct.
these two concepts. Okay.
Yeah, then
See.
from my experience teaching H1, sure, the questions are a lot easier, but I do not know whether is it my students only. My students, not to put, not to flex it out, my students do generally okay for H1 chem, right? Then they always tell me, AJ, I regret it, I should have taken H2 chem. Because they'll be getting A for H1 chem, right? And they felt like they prefer taking H2 chem now, so because they can at least minimally still get a B because they're that good. I do not know whether they are just good or maybe from my guidance again, right? So I'm not flexing out there, but this is my experience.
Okay. And
Right, and
let's say for courses like medicine, you know, you mentioned you were interested in medicine. Can I go into medicine with a H1 chem, or is like not
No.
possible at all?
No.
So that's definitely
Definitely.
a consideration, right?
Correct.
When you want to take medicine, H2 chemistry is complete 100% necessary. Okay,
Coming
understand.
from a science student in university and having many medicine friends or pharmacy friends, right? You will understand that you go to all these medical fields, it's not just human anatomy. It's a lot of chemistry reaction in your body. If you don't understand how chemistry works, how you understand your human anatomy, you will start to see a lot of chemistry infused to your biology. Right, so that's why H2 Chem, I always tell my students, is the core subjects that bring the two sciences together. Right, so H2 Chem is quite essential. Right, so if let's say you are a combined student and you decide to take H1, sorry, H2, it's best to go tuition immediately and to seek help. Or maybe just do extra work by yourself. You definitely need to seek help.
I find that in JC, the most important is actually to get proper guidance. Because once you're off foot, right, it's very hard to gain the momentum back. Especially if
Correct.
you know that you have a teacher that can't really explain the way that you need, right? By the time you reach the end and you are nearing your A levels, it's too late to find help, really. You cannot reverse the process. I would rather you retain straight away. Just own self ask to retain. But actually, even then, right, retaining is not so easy. School
Correct.
reserves a certain amount of
Correct.
Places for people to retain, and you must be like at a certain level of like in essence badness like in order to retain. So don't be stupid, don't wait until the end. You have like only like 2 to 3 months left. You know that maybe your chemistry is confirm you that kind, and the rest of your subjects B. You will just die lah. You can't even land a placing in uni in that sense, or a course that you want, because H2 chemistry is such a core, you know, subject that
Correct.
need you to take to get to certain subjects.
So yeah. Building on what Gabby said, right, then not only that, nowadays a lot of JC teachers, they do lecture recording. So they don't actually have lectures. Back in my time, there's no such technology, but a lot of teachers are very not keen to using such technology. But after the COVID times, they have been doing a lot of lecture recording. So now they just give out lecture recording, wait for the students to ownself go listen and understand. There's no human element to it, right? So if you want the human element to it, you need to seek your teacher for consultation. But that also is hoping that the teacher don't mind. Some teachers really just very stingy with their time. Right? So yeah, you have to consider all this. It's quite independent now due to technology. So that is the cons about such things now.
I think the good thing also about technology is that because there are so many resources available to you, it's really putting the onus on you to learn on you, right? You determine whether you get an A, you determine whether you get a B. Correct. In that sense, it's fair for everybody. There are so many free resources out there. You can take a look at our free notes as well. We're really here to make sure that you have the access to the things you need to bring yourself to an A, right? Most of the students that come to Overmark, they are already students who are motivated. They want to get an A, so they want to get help. But if you're stuck in a place where, you know, you're just like, I'll just cruise through JC, you know, JC hasn't started yet, maybe I'll just chill. Yeah, there's no way you make it through with that mentality.
Yeah, then people like me back in my JC days, I took up tuition for H2 chemistry as well. I was getting A all the way. I was just naturally good in chemistry, right? But that being said, I was still scared. Right, I was still scared. Sometimes it will take a turn despite getting A all the way and being one of the top few students in chemistry, right? So I took up tuition just to secure my A.
Like a safety net.
Correct. And at the same time, my tuition at that time provided me a lot more external practices.
Practices really helped you in that sense to back A la. Especially I heard people say that towards the end you just straight away mark TYS. Is that how you do it?
No.
Not anymore,
at the end nearing to A level, sure, but that's not the right way. That's not the right way. If let's say last resort, then sure. Right? But you should not be doing A level questions early on.
Okay. I see. So how do you in that sense build up to make sure that you get the A and then at the end focus on the TYS? What is the in-between and what do I do in that period?
Okay. Starting from the very get-go of our podcast, right? As I already saying, the high difficulty or the great difficulty of H2 chemistry, it means you need to start from day one. Okay? You need to start on day one. When you start on day one, it means that I do not know whether it is lecture recording or actual real-life lecture. You truly need to understand topic by topic the concept. Not just memorize everything. If you don't understand, you memorize, again, as what I said, you are not going to get good marks, right? That's step one. You need to understand everything. Step two, you need to apply what you actually study to unique questions. And you'll realize that the questioning type of Singapore JC and the A-level paper, it's a bit, can differ a bit. And to me, some of the JC papers are a lot harder. A lot harder. So it's definitely essential to start practicing the JC, Singapore JC kind of question, not the A level. You should not be starting off with that.
Okay, right? I see. Is it worth doing other schools' test papers just to make sure that you have a broad base?
Definitely. You need to expose yourself to as many questions as possible. As what I said at the start, they're going to throw to you many unique questions. But even though I say cannot memorize, right? But if you do enough practices, you can see a consistent trend of a train of thought. Not a regurgitation of information, but a repeat of the train of thought. Like the teacher or the question require you to think step one, step two, step three, step four.
Like a line of reasoning with which you understand.
Correct.
Okay, understand.
Yes, correct. It's not like, the information is just vomit out. But the train of thought is the same. So that comes from consistent practice and guidance. If there is no teacher or rather there's no good teacher to provide you a proper guidance to think properly, it really depends on yourself really. So you're on your own, right?
Okay, I see. So it definitely sounds like for H2, what is important is actually that there's a guiding sort of teacher or mentor, whatever it is, to help you point out how it is that you should dissect and think about the question.
Correct.
And then after you've gotten used to that mindset, you will then be able to replicate
Correct.
It.
Correct, yes.
To be there to check your
Correct.
Thoughts first
Correct.
Before you're able to say, okay, I can replicate this and, you know, continue scoring like 10 marks out of 10.
Yes.
Instead of like, no losing marks.
So no matter what they throw at you, you will be fine. And in your JC, I don't think your teacher is going to go through the specific train of thought. They're just going to whack the content.
Because they have a lot of
content. Correct. Disseminate the content to you only. Right?
Okay. Yeah. So if you need help, it's really important to get it very early on, as you can tell from what teacher AJ just mentioned. Also, just a small little shout out as well. Teacher AJ, are you doing JC1 trials? You are, right?
Yes, I'm doing JC1 trial. I got so many classes. Opened it just to increase the more slots for you guys to choose from. I teach Kovan, Jurong East, and Bukit Timah. But let's say you are on the east side, there are other JC teachers also. Go check them out. Yeah, they are all decent teachers. Very good teachers.
JC1 trials, right, as teacher AJ mentioned, is happening. We are here to help you guys. And literally, we don't gain anything from this because our JC1 trials is really to help you start on the right foot, right? In case you are worried, you hear about the podcast and you're like, I want to find out more, because teacher AJ has covered already so many fundamental things. He can be the person to help start you on your JC journey. And then you can check out our other JC1 free trials as well. It's really just meant to help you lah. So if you are looking for some help, please feel free to approach us. Teacher AJ is also reachable on his TikTok, on his Instagram, and we would love to hear more from you guys if you have questions and if you have any other issues that you're, you know, looking to solve. Even your dating, if you want to ask like, oh, should I be dating JC1? You know, you can drop Teacher Alex or Teacher AJ a text. So with that, I will wrap up today's podcast, and we will see you guys in the very next episode, hoping to cover a lot more on the JC side so that we can help you guys transit over to your JC. With that, see you guys in the very next episode.
Bye-bye.
JC ones, schools in, and academics have started to pile up. Finding yourself lost in class or just in need of more academic help? Our expert ex-MOE and ex-Learning Lab tutors are here to help. Attend our free JC1 trial classes throughout February, covering H1 GP, H2 Math, Chemistry, Physics, Biology, and even H2 Economics to ensure you're on the right track for your JC Acads.